I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. People of Tibetan descent are keenly aware of an anniversary that's being marked this week, and for a lot of them, it's a bitter one.
I think for every Tibetan, ultimately, there's just a sort of a sadness and disbelief that it's six decades since March 1959.
That's Laden Tetong. Her father is from the generation of Tibetans that fled the capital Lhasa 60 years ago during the Tibetan uprising, March 1959. China had ruled Tibet for 8 years, and the rebellion was a failed attempt at Tibetan independence. Laden Tetong grew up in Canada hearing these stories. She's 42 and didn't experience the uprising, but her activism for Tibetan rights was shaped by those events 60 years ago.
It was the ultimate sort of breaking moment for their lives, for people fleeing into exile, for His Holiness leaving Tibet, the Dalai Lama leaving Tibet. All these years that Tibetans have had to either live in Tibet under Chinese occupation without the Dalai Lama, without their legitimate representation as they feel it. And then for all the Tibetans that have lived, like my father, in exile for so long, who thought for a very long time that they would be going home. 60 years is a long time.
The handful of reactionary elements, scorning the wishes and hopes of the people, launched a rebellion here on March 10, 1959. Our troops attack and occupy the rebel positions on Yowang Hill.
Tibetans often use these amazing pictures of Tibetans surrendering, and you see the Chinese coming up, you know, climbing up the mountain, holding guns in their hands, and it's actually Chinese government propaganda footage where they did reenactments.
Rebels working hand in hand with foreign reactionaries betrayed the motherland, and lacking the support of the people, they quickly crumbled. Many who were deceived or coerced into joining the ranks of the rebels are now surrendering their arms.
You know, I think one of the important things about 1959 March is this idea that actually, against incredible odds, Tibetans were saying no and standing up and saying enough of this. We, you know, after a decade of China trying to consolidate its rule in Tibet, China out, you know, Tibet for Tibetans. These are the slogans that they used. They were very clear. In the end, Tibetans just couldn't take it. Really, they handed us, for all of these years, they handed us a very clear legacy, which is that all the time the Chinese government has been trying to convince the world that Tibet belongs to them, that Tibet was always a part of China, that Tibetans are really just some Chinese minority. It's clear to us, our history is clear because of this incredible moment, that Tibet belongs to Tibetans, that Tibetans did not want Chinese rule, that it was a foreign rule, it was an occupation. And that, I think, is so critical.
We're going to be back with more from the Tibetan Freedom Concert, but right now, here are the Beastie Boys on stage.
The Free Tibet movement is certainly in the West and outside of, you know, Tibet, say in the U.S. This is all, it has played a really important role. Because you don't see as many Free Tibet bumper stickers these days as you did back then, I mean, times have changed, but also the incredible surge in support for Tibet in the late 90s and early 2000s, that played a really critical role of helping Tibetans, I think, get through a very difficult time. There weren't the same sort of communications into Tibet at that time. People outside didn't necessarily really know what was happening inside, but Tibetans inside were aware of this global support. The Dalai Lama has the Nobel Peace Prize. People in Hollywood and people in positions of power in these foreign governments speak up for us. They knew that. And so it was, for all of us, an incredible morale boost, and that it helped us to solidify a kind of Tibet support that now, we didn't used to have very many Tibetans living in the West. So that movement gave rise to what we have now, which is Tibetan-led, active grassroots movement. One of the greatest campaigns that Tibetans inside have waged, nonviolent campaigns against Chinese rule in recent years, came shortly after the 2008 uprising that swept across all of historical Tibet in the lead up to the Olympics in Beijing. were using it on their social media profiles. They were using it sort of everywhere, and even making videos where they were saying, and it was very political, the statement, "I am Tibetan and I love Tibet." But it was creative in that it was harder for the Chinese government to crack down on them, because in a way what they were saying was not supposedly against the law or bad, or but really they were making a very, very strong political statement to say these things. If you think about the resources that the Chinese state has thrown at occupying Tibet and crushing Tibetan spirit, this issue should be over, and it's not. Far from it. I think that the resistance spirit that was in the streets in Lhasa in March 1959 still exists, with an entirely new generation of Tibetans inside Tibet, where protests and resistance continues to this day.
Lada and Tetong reflecting on the 60th anniversary of the Tibetan uprising, a failed attempt at overthrowing Chinese rule in Tibet. Lada and Liz here in Boston, where she's the director of the Tibet Action Institute.